From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. The U.S. Supreme Court effectively overturned Roe versus Wade back in June with a decision that allows states, including Idaho, to put their own laws in place regarding abortion. Now, once that decision became official, Idaho's trigger law, which will ban most abortions here in the Gem State, started the countdown to August 25th. That's when our law will take effect. However, that law and two more Idaho laws are being challenged in court by Planned Parenthood. Two of those challenges will be heard tomorrow by Idaho's Supreme Court. Here to break it all down for us is Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson. James has been following these court cases. And Jimmy, want to welcome you back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Gemma.
So, Jimmy, as I mentioned, there are three laws and three challenges to these laws. Can we start with the Texas-style legislation that was passed earlier this year? If I remember correctly, this will give the family of an aborted fetus the right to sue the doctor who performed the procedure if it's performed after about 6 weeks of pregnancy. So can you talk about this first?
Yep, that's exactly right. And that six-week mark is before a lot of women even know they're pregnant. And so this law was passed by the Idaho legislature, signed into law by Governor Brad Little back in March. And Planned Parenthood pretty immediately filed suit in the Supreme Court to stop it, state Supreme Court, that is. And it's kind of been on hold ever since because the state Supreme Court issued a stay in the matter, delaying its implementation, you know, pending the outcome of the lawsuit. So, you know, that was kind of the first bit of litigation that we saw. Of course, then we had the leak of the draft Supreme Court order from Justice Samuel Alito, you know, a couple months later. And, you know, everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall that Roe v. Wade was probably going to go down, which it did in June.
So, Jimmy, why is Planned Parenthood challenging this particular law? What are their arguments?
Their arguments are pretty much the same across the board for each of these laws, essentially saying that in the Idaho Constitution, there's a implied right to privacy, that it discriminates against women specifically, since you know, they're the ones who are getting pregnant in these cases, and also that the laws are unconstitutionally vague. You know, and this is kind of a technical matter, but essentially, you know, a lawyer would tell you that, you know, in order to be enforceable and constitutional, a law has to be clear as to what it means, and people kind of have to understand it. And so they're kind of pointing to the exception for abortions where if a pregnancy threatens the life of the mother, not the health, but just the life of the mother, then you could get an abortion. However, they're saying that there's no definition of what constitutes, you know, being sick enough to threaten the life of someone. And so it could potentially lead doctors and other healthcare providers to maybe wait to perform an abortion until, you know, someone is quote unquote sick enough to, you know, have their life threatened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So then there's a second law. Now, this Idaho law was passed in 2020. It would ban all abortions except for those in cases of rape and incest, or when a pregnancy threatens the life of the mother. So can you outline this one for us?
Yeah, like you said, this was passed in 2020, and maybe it kind of flew under the radar a bit since, you know, that was right about the time when the pandemic started, you know, shutting things down. And so this was kind of on the books waiting to be implemented because it wasn't going to immediately take effect. It was kind of a long-term plan by anti-abortion advocates. You know, it would only take effect if the U.S. Supreme Court ever did return oversight powers of abortion to the states and essentially overturn Roe v. Wade, which, as we saw, was done in June.
So Planned Parenthood is also challenging this law, and abortion rights advocates say that rape and incest survivors must first report the crime to the police, and then they deliver a copy of that report to their doctor, and then they say those reports aren't publicly available, you know, normally when an investigation is ongoing, correct?
Yeah, and that's the huge rub that, you know, Governor Brad Little even outlined in his letter signing the Texas-style abortion law earlier this year, saying, if an investigation is ongoing, I mean, it could take months or even years, depending on whether or not there's someone being prosecuted, right? That's when the investigation would close and those documents would become public. And that would essentially make it moot. You wouldn't be able to get an abortion, if the fetus is that far along or you already gave birth.
Okay, so these two lawsuits are going in front of the Idaho Supreme Court tomorrow, Jimmy. What's going to happen? What do we know?
Well, essentially, both sides get a certain period of time to make their arguments in front of the five justices here in the state, and the Planned Parenthood is obviously asking for them to be permanently blocked. These laws, that is, the state and state lawmakers who have their own separate legal team are wanting, them to go into effect and for the court to dismiss these laws or at least kick them down to the lower courts that, could potentially drag on the legal cases for, months or years. But they're also saying that the arguments made by Planned Parenthood are, there's no implied right to privacy that covers abortions in the state constitution. I mean, we should remember that abortion has been illegal in Idaho since it became a state, up until 1973 when Roe v. Wade was decided. So it might be a little hard to argue that, the framers of the state constitution were thinking about those sorts of medical procedures when they wrote the constitution.
So, Jimmy, we won't likely get a decision on these cases tomorrow. So walk us through what would happen next.
Yeah, there's no real timeline. I mean, the Idaho Supreme Court can take as long or as short of a time as it wants. I would imagine I've seen other expedited cases like this since we do have that firm August 25th timeline, not to mention the August 19th date for a third lawsuit that is being challenged in the Idaho Supreme Court. But, there hasn't been a hearing date set for that one. I would imagine since, clock is ticking on that one, that they would try to come out with some kind of decision earlier rather than later. But again, there aren't any sort of statutory timelines that they have to stick to.
So, Jimmy, if I remember this correctly, also what is happening tomorrow is this is not the Supreme Court making a decision on whether these laws should be either taken down or followed. This is a decision to decide if they should put a pause on these laws from taking effect while these lawsuits are going through the court system. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay, so that's what we're waiting for then, is will we see these laws take effect August 19th, August 25th, or will the Idaho Supreme Court say, we're going to wait, go through this, and then we'll make a decision?
Right, which also helps, that timeline question that we were talking about where, they can make a decision a little bit quicker, usually on these sorts of motions rather than, an entire case with hundreds of pages of briefing and exhibits and stuff to kind of look through and carefully craft an opinion around.
So I want to go back to these two challenges that will go in front of them tomorrow. In these basically oral arguments that both sides are going to make, do we know what Planned Parenthood would need to do in regards to these two challenges tomorrow if it wants to convince justices to block that trigger ban, at least while this is going through the court system?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to the legal arguments. But I mean, certainly in a reply from the court earlier, I believe it was last month, maybe it was in June, the court said, we're kind of skeptical about your argument that there is some sort of implied right to privacy in the state constitution, since that's kind of what Roe v. Wade was based on, and now that's struck down. So they were fairly skeptical of that. I would say that, they should probably, or I would imagine that they would kind of stay away from that argument as much as possible, and really kind of hammer on those, you know, vagueness claims, as well as, you know, saying women are being treated differently than men simply because of their biological, you know, abilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you mentioned that there's a third lawsuit. So let's dig into this a little bit because you did report on this, Jimmy. And this is that Planned Parenthood is challenging another Idaho law. This one was from 2021. And it would simply ban all abortions, correct? Prior to 6 weeks of pregnancy, except in cases of rape, incest, or except in the case of a, quote, medical emergency. So can you tell us more about this law and then the challenge to it?
Yeah, this one was passed in 2021. You laid it out exactly what it is. The kind of landscape behind it was that, you know, it would take effect. This is a little bit different than the 2020 trigger law, that if simply a federal court of appeals ruled a similar law to be constitutional, then it could take effect. So it kind of had like a lower threshold. And it was really part of this long-term goal of, you know, eventually ratcheting down Idaho's laws to ban most, if not all, abortions. And so, you know, a few weeks ago, a Georgia law was upheld by a circuit court over on the East Coast, and that is what Planned Parenthood says would trigger that countdown to go into effect, which would take effect on August 19th.
But they are not challenging this one in court tomorrow, Jimmy?
They're not, just because it's so new. I mean, this was last week that they filed that lawsuit, and so it's really difficult to kind of wrap a new case into an existing set of suits when you only have less than a week to even prepare for it.
Okay, now I want to dig into some information that literally
number four.
Number four, Jimmy, and this honestly happened, I'm not kidding, when I say minutes before we came live on the air. So if you're listening right now, this came down less than 20 minutes ago. If you're listening tonight at 8 or in a podcast, this might be some old news, but the state of Idaho is being sued by the Justice Department over the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. So let's talk about this, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What do we know at this point?
So I have gotten to skim about the first 10 pages of the 17-page complaint before we came on air.
Lucky you. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so what the Biden administration is arguing is that this law, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, requires hospitals that accept Medicaid funds to provide emergency medical treatment as necessary to stabilize any kind of condition before they transfer or discharge a patient. And they're saying that those emergency medical conditions, while they do, you know, cover conditions that would risk the life of the mother, they also, you know, apply to if a patient's health is in serious jeopardy or risk, quote, serious impairment to bodily functions or dysfunction to bodily organs, you know, really specific legal jargon there. But essentially, they're saying that with any of these abortion bans, by singling out the life of the mother and not just the overall health of the mother, then, you know, doctors would not be able to comply with this federal law.
Well, right. And I want to quote Merrick Garland here, because he literally was holding a news conference. And I actually believe it may still be going on while you and I are talking. But what he said is that it, quote, includes no exception for cases in which the abortion is necessary to prevent serious jeopardy to the woman's health. He goes on to say, moreover, it would subject doctors to arrest and criminal prosecution, even if they perform an abortion to save a woman's life. And that would then place the burden on the doctors that they are not criminally liable, unquote. And Jimmy, this goes back to this whole idea, I think, that we're seeing in the medical community now, right? And then you mentioned this, is that when is the life of the mother in danger, right? Is it when she has that ectopic pregnancy and you go in and you, you know, you perform the abortion on that because that is not a viable pregnancy? Or do you wait basically until the mother goes septic and almost dies, or and then you're, you know, racing the clock as doctors to try to save her life.
Right.
And I think these are the shades of gray, right? That there are no answers to, and it puts doctors in a position where they are unable to perform their duties as health professionals.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we heard last week on, I believe, Morning Edition or All Things Considered, the story of that woman in Texas whose water broke at 18 weeks and, you know, the fetus wasn't going to survive, but she had to wait days and days for her infection to get to the point where it threatened her life. So, I mean, I fully expect to see these kinds of cases, you know, pop up, you know, around the country in states that are trying to ban abortions in pretty much all cases.
Mm-hmm. Right. Apparently, Merrick Garland, in this news conference that's going on, is basically putting all other states on notice, I guess, Jimmy, for lack of a better term. He says, you know, for these other states that have passed these restrictions on reproductive health care, that he says run afoul of federal law. I want to quote him one more time because he says, quote, "We will use every tool at our disposal to ensure that pregnant women get the emergency medical treatment to which they are entitled under federal law," unquote. And I think, Jimmy, this is going to be just, I think, the beginning, right? And what we're going to see tomorrow in Idaho. And I'm curious, and I think this is just speculation on our part, of course, Jimmy, but how this lawsuit now from the Department of Justice against the state of Idaho, I wonder how that will impact, if at all, what happens in the Idaho Supreme Court tomorrow.
Yeah, same, because that lawsuit is filed in federal court as opposed to the other three being filed in the state Supreme Court. I don't know if the Idaho Supreme Court will feel like they want to kind of wait out that process before they make a ruling. It's pure speculation on our part, but it certainly, you know, could play out in a whole number of different ways that maybe we don't even realize at the moment.
I think you're right, Jimmy. And it's just, I think, as you know, we have said here, it is just waiting to see what happens. And this is, of course, just the very beginning of this. You will, of course, be covering these hearings tomorrow.
Yep, I'll be in the courtroom.
Okay. And we will then have you on again after all of those hearings to find out what happens and what happened and then what happens next. Jimmy, really appreciate your reporting on this. I know there's so much information. And so thank you for everything you've been doing to keep us all up to date on this.
Sure thing. See you Thursday.
Absolutely. We'll talk with you Thursday. We've been talking with our own Boise State Public Radio reporter, James Dawson, talking about tomorrow's hearing before the Idaho Supreme Court, where Planned Parenthood will challenge the state's abortion laws. Jimmy, as we mentioned, will be back on Thursday because he will then give us a rundown of what happened in the court on Wednesday. And once again, if you were just joining us, the Federal Justice Department is now suing Idaho over its abortion law, arguing that it violates the Supremacy Clause by keeping healthcare providers from following EMT ALA. It is the law that requires hospitals to stabilize all patients.